Amen. Man, God is so good, church. He is so good, and we have the opportunity to praise His name and hear Him speak to us today. Good morning. As Adam said, welcome home. We're glad all of you are there today. We wish that you were here, but we're glad that you're there as well. We're excited that next week, Connecting Point gets to come back to Connecting Point. PitNaz gets to come back to PitNaz. Our Hispanic ministry gets to come back to their church, and we get to join together either in person or online next week. We're excited you're here. We're excited about a new series that we're starting today called Jesus Is. Say that with me at home. Jesus Is. And we're going to be looking at, over the next 8 weeks, this is an 8-week series that we're going to be looking at, the different things that Jesus called Himself. All throughout Scripture, we see different people saying things about Jesus, and we're going to look at that, some of that as well today. But over the course of this series, trying to narrow it down, because Jesus is so many things, but we're going to look at some things that Jesus referred to Himself as. So this is just a little commercial for the whole series. Today we're talking about Jesus as the cornerstone, and then the Son of Man next week, the vine, the good shepherd, Jesus is I am, Jesus is the door, Jesus is the light of the world, and we'll wrap it up with Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. I'm really looking forward to this series, and I want to start with a question today as we talk about Jesus as the cornerstone this morning, and the simple question is simply this: is Jesus the cornerstone of your life? Now, I have to be honest this morning, there's been times in my life, especially before I was a Christian, where I would say that Jesus was on the list, but He wasn't necessarily the cornerstone of my life. And our hope and prayer today is that if you were to answer that question, yes, He is the cornerstone of my life, that you would continue in those ways and continue to pursue that. But if you would say today that Jesus is not your cornerstone, my prayer is that someone, maybe they attend one of our churches, or you're just watching today, that you would make Jesus the cornerstone of your life. I got to studying what a cornerstone is. I kind of thought I knew what a cornerstone is, and for the most part, I did know what it is. But when you study what a cornerstone is, it's kind of taken on a little bit different meanings depending on the time period that you're in. But when we're talking about Jesus being the cornerstone, in fact, in Mark chapter 12, we're not going to be looking at Mark specifically in this, but in Mark chapter 12, Jesus refers to Himself as the stone that the builders rejected. He calls Himself the cornerstone. And when He's talking about the cornerstone, He's talking about the fact that there was no stone that was more important in those days than the cornerstone, because the integrity of the whole structure depended on the cornerstone containing exactly the right lines. And so everything basically got its center. Everything was based off of the cornerstone. And so this morning, I want to tell you today, we all have some type of cornerstone that we get our north off of, that we get our right and wrong, that we get the plans and purposes for our life, and more importantly, that our life is founded on and rests in. And this morning, it may be Jesus, it might be something else, but Jesus came so that He could be the cornerstone of our lives. So He says no stone was more important than the cornerstone because of the integrity of the whole structure depended on the what, church? The cornerstone containing exactly the right lines. If the cornerstone was not exactly right, the entire building would be out of line. For that reason, builders inspected many stones, rejecting each one until they found the one that they wanted. In fact, in our lives, in fact, specifically in my life, I went through a period of time in my life where I didn't realize that's what I was doing, but I was looking for that cornerstone in my life. I tried to find it in different things that the world had to offer and found myself coming up short. And what I realized, and what we hope you realize, is that Jesus is the cornerstone on which salvation rests. Say that with me. Jesus is the cornerstone on which salvation rests. And I want you to know today that he is your salvation. He came so that he could be your salvation. You won't find that salvation in a bottle. You won't find that salvation in a marriage or a relationship or something else. Our salvation from our sins and to be the people God's called us to be comes from Jesus Christ. In fact, Peter in Scripture realizes this through experiences and through testimony of the Holy Spirit and witnessing Jesus in person. And when he is before the council in the book of Acts, he basically tells them, hey, Jesus is the cornerstone. Peter and John had just been to the temple and they healed this beggar through the Holy Spirit. And people didn't really like that. And Peter appears before the council and it's kind of a pressurized situation. Sometimes it'd be easier to keep quiet about our faith because of the persecution that could take place. And that's where Peter was. And so Peter goes before the council, and rather than just kind of cowering into fear because he's made something else the cornerstone of his life, he's made Jesus the cornerstone of his life. And so he's able to get up and boldly say, let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, talking about the beggar that was healed. The man you crucified, remember? You crucified him, but whom God raised from the dead. So he's acknowledging Jesus as the cornerstone. For Jesus is the one referred to in the Scriptures. And he's talking about Psalm 118:22, where it says, the stone that you builders rejected, let's read it, has now become the what, church? The cornerstone has now become the cornerstone. He goes on and says, there is salvation. Now, you have to understand his audience here. There's people that recognize that there's a Messiah or there's this Scripture's talking about this person, but they don't recognize that it's Jesus. And Peter gets up in front of all these people and he says, there's salvation in no one else. You need to know today that Jesus is our cornerstone and there is salvation in no one else. Amen? Whatever you're looking for in life today, if you're just kind of scrolling through social media this morning, what you're really needing and desiring and looking for is Jesus. He is the cornerstone. There is no salvation in no one else. There's no salvation in politics. There's no salvation in a cure for cancer. There's no salvation in anything else that we could possibly think of this morning. Salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And so you need to know this morning that Jesus is the cornerstone and the only cornerstone that we need to base our lives on. Years ago, I was working somewhere and there was a lady who was questioning her faith. Not really questioning her faith, but questioning me about what she believed in her faith. And she said to me, don't you believe that there's many ways to God? And what I guess I would get from that in the context of this message today is, don't you believe that there's many different cornerstones that you can base your life on to find God or to find your way throughout life? And I just looked at her and I said, no, I don't believe that. There's not many ways to God. There's one way to Jesus, to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone for our life. And before we move on this morning, this is a kind of a fundamental point this morning, but a very important point today. You need to know that there are many people that live their lives not believing that Jesus is the cornerstone. And because they don't believe that Jesus is the cornerstone, it changes the way they counsel people. It changes the way they teach students. It changes the way they coach people. It changes the way they write policies and laws. It changes the way that they deal with relationships. It changes everything about their life. And this morning, if you have not built your life on Jesus Christ, it will be easy to get swooped in to things that aren't making Jesus the cornerstone of your life. See, we are the people of God. We are followers of God, which leads to point number two. The people of God are the house or the temple of God, resting on the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. Now, that might seem elementary today, but my question for all of us today is, what does your life rest on? What the media says? What the CDC says? What somebody else says? How people are feeling? How relationships are? What does your life rest on? And the reality is this morning, we are all called to rest our lives on Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone. Listen to this, thinking about the people of God or the house of God resting on the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone, which is Christ Jesus himself. So our lives are built on his cornerstone. And as our lives are built on his cornerstone, we are able to live the life that he's called us to live. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Now, just reading that for just a second, you might not know much about that, but that right there is really good news today. Because Paul, who writes this to Ephesus, Paul had been a person who really didn't follow God all that much. In fact, he was a persecutor of those that followed after Christ. And so when Paul, comes to Christ and his life has changed, and now he's made Jesus the cornerstone of his life, he starts to write to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles were people that were left out, so to speak. They weren't the chosen one, the Jews. And the reality is that many of the Jews rejected Jesus as the Messiah, and many today still do. But God calls Paul to talk to the Gentiles, to let them know, hey, you're also included in the family of God. You can also build your life on the cornerstone. Well, stay with me for just a second. Why does that matter to you and I? Because some of us this morning feel like we've gone too far, we've done too much. Maybe we've never fit in a church, or we've never fit in our family, or we've never fit in some situation or circumstance. Jesus, when he said it is finished, he meant that it is finished and that the gospel is for all people. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what's been done to you. If you make Jesus the cornerstone of your life, you are in God's church. You are members of God's family. And as Christ's followers, we need to know some things today. We need to know he's the cornerstone. We need to know as the church that we rest on him. And we also need to know that we have a role to play in this family of God. Christ's followers are living stones that were dead in our sin, but now are alive in Christ, the cornerstone. Now, I'm ADD, and I keep wanting to think of the Rolling Stones here, okay? But Christ followers are living stones. Did you know that this morning? Living stones that were dead in our sin, but now are alive in Christ, the cornerstone. You have a purpose. My wife, when I met her, she lived with her parents, and she was at college, but she still lived at home. And I remember the first time I went to visit her, she spent a lot of her time landscaping her parents' yard, and she would build these rock walls around trees and all over the place. It was just this beautiful thing, and she was always looking for rocks that had a specific shape to them, that were flat, that would easily, you know, you could stack rocks on. And sometimes she would discard rocks because they didn't necessarily fit. Can I tell you today that Jesus died so no one would be discarded? Jesus died so that your sin doesn't discard you or disqualify you. All we have to do is acknowledge that, repent of that, and receive that we are now moving from dead and useless to being a living stone that Jesus fills his spirit with. He can do amazing things through. Listen to what Peter writes. And you are living stones, that God is building into his spiritual temple. Now, at face value, that's kind of a weird sentence to think about. In fact, if I was reading my Bible in the morning or whenever, and I came across that verse, I would probably, I don't know that I would necessarily stay there that long, unless the Spirit just really put my attention on it, I might just read right over that. God doesn't make junk. And whatever you did, whatever happened to you, doesn't disqualify you through repentance of following Jesus and having a purpose. God wants to use you and your story, no matter how ugly or tragic or boring in your mind. God wants to use you to build his spiritual temple in two ways: our temple and also the church of God, right? He wants to build your temple. Did you know Scripture says that you are a temple of God? If you're following Jesus, you are a temple of God. So the things, the places you go, the things you say, the things you watch, everything in your life, you are a temple of God. And it's important that we keep our temple clean. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy what, church? Priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Now, again, reading this, you're like, what in the world does that mean? Did you know that we don't need a priest now to talk to God? We have a relationship with Jesus Christ now. You can go directly to God and talk to him and speak to him, and your salvation and the Spirit of God in you mediates. In fact, you can intercede for other people. Some of you know we've been praying for Glenn White, which we've been getting good reports, so we just want to give God praise for that. We want to keep praying for him. You can intercede on his behalf, pray and lift him up. Man, I'm not here today if there's not people that have been prayed for me, interceded for me. I know, without naming their names, some very specific people that were on their knees interceding for me when I was lost in my sin and away from Jesus. You are not useless in the kingdom of God. You have value. God wants to use you to build his kingdom. But in order for that to happen, it kind of goes along with the last series we talked about, which is we have to have hearts that are pliable. And we believe that we can live free from sin, which means that we don't have to walk in our sin all the time. Do you know that person that maybe likes to remind you of a mistake you made or some stupid thing you did every time you get together, you know, at Christmas or some other time with family or with friends? They like to bring it up and talk about it. And you're like, yeah, I remember when I was 10 and I lit the barn on fire. I'm sorry. You know, okay, I didn't actually light the barn on fire, but maybe one of you did. Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. If we repent of our sins and follow after Jesus, we can be used of him. Listen to this quote. Christians are stones as well, set aside for a specific project. God is currently building us into a spiritual house, a dwelling place for himself. In this new temple, made out of the people of God, each of us also serve as priests. Did you know that you are a minister of the good news of Jesus Christ? Our life is based on the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. That's what we started with today. And then we learned in point number two that we are the people of God, or the house of God, or together the temple of God that rests on the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ, for the purpose of ministering the good news of Jesus Christ through our words, through our actions of love, through our forgiveness, through the fruits of the Spirit. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are a minister. Did you know that? I realize that God calls some people to be pastors, but we are all, as followers of God, ministers. So how are you ministering? Listen to what Peter said. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession, and as a result of these things, right? Jesus is the cornerstone. We're the house of God. We're resting on Jesus as the cornerstone. You can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. You were not called to live in your darkness. You were not called to live in your shame. You are not called to feel sorry for yourself and spend the rest of your life beating yourself up, or spending the rest of your life beating someone else up, literally or figuratively, for something they've done to you. You are called out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Which means we have to get over ourselves. There's a whole lot of people that need to be called out of darkness. I realize that saying get over yourself is a pretty bold statement. Sometimes getting over it isn't easy. So when I say get over ourselves, it means we have to get over the fact that when God says we can let it go, and we say, no, we need to continue to punish ourselves, we are putting our opinion over what God says. We have to get over ourselves and let God be in charge. But then there are things that happen. Some of us have lost children. Some of us have lost a spouse. Some of us have lost both. Some of us have had to deal with all kinds of things, and it's not really easy to get over. In fact, in some situations, you don't really get over it. But God can help you get through it. And walking out of the darkness is letting God carry you into the light. And almost like accountability, saying, God, help me not to go back to the cave. And what helps us not go back to the cave is realizing there are other people that are in the darkness. And we don't have to go back and experience their sin or go back and live in the cave with them because they're where they're at. We can walk them out of the cave through our prayer and through living out the fruits of the Spirit in our life, through being an encouragement to them, through carrying them to Jesus in our prayers. See, when Jesus is the cornerstone of your life, it's easier to recommend him to others as the cornerstone for their life. Now think about that. It's a simple statement, but if Jesus is the cornerstone of your life, it's real easy to recommend him for their life. But it's a lot harder to recommend something if you've never experienced it. I remember one time someone was talking about some movie, and I said, oh, yeah, I heard that was a really good movie. Yeah, this happened and this happened. Someone was telling me about it. Well, did you go see the movie? I'm like, well, no. Well, then how do you know if it's a good movie? Well, I heard it was. I heard Jesus can make a good cornerstone for your life. I met some people that they're teachers at their schools. I can tell that they've made Jesus the cornerstone of their life. And, you know, your mom, I would say she's made Jesus the cornerstone of your life. Now, don't do what I do, but hey, over here, it's really hard to recommend and be the ministers that we're called to be if we've not surrendered him to be the cornerstone of our life. And some of you know what it's like to try to share your faith or live out your faith and people reject you for that. Some of you have been praying for people for years to come to know Christ. And just a reminder, something we already know, following Jesus doesn't mean you won't be rejected. Not everyone will stand up and applaud you as you follow after Jesus. Hey, way to not get mad. Good job. As followers of Christ, our faith is based on the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. It's not based on anger. It's not based on fear. It's not based on popular opinion. It's not based on anything else other than Jesus. And when we pray for people, or we even talk to them about following Christ or making better decisions, sometimes they reject you. You all know that person that you've given them advice. Maybe even it wasn't even spiritual advice. You just gave them advice. And as you're giving them the advice, you know they're not going to take it. They're absolutely not going to take it. Some of them are your kids. But we know that Christ was rejected despite him being the cornerstone of salvation. His own people rejected that he was the Messiah. Not everyone's going to get you. And the Bible tells us not everyone's going to get Jesus or even follow Jesus. And as a follower of Christ, if our cornerstone is what other people think of us, high school kids, teenagers, children, adults, if our cornerstone is something other than what Jesus thinks, it's going to be real easy when everybody's against us or thinking different than us for us to fall under pressure. David writes, the stone the builders, what, church? What was that? Rejected. The stone the builders rejected. Now think about that. The stone the builders rejected. If you're building something and there's the perfect cornerstone back then to line up everything off of, you couldn't find a better cornerstone. And people are in charge of figuring out how we're going to base truth, how we're going to base our life, how we're going to do everything. And they look at this perfect cornerstone and they reject it. And that's what people do today. Can I tell you today, maybe you're watching and you've been rejecting Jesus for some time. And I want to just be personal here for a minute. I did for a while. I grew up in church. Man, I knew all the right things to say. My parents taught me what to do and how to live and you know, all that. And for a while, I rejected Christ. I tried to find my north in other things. You're not going to find it in anything else or anyone else. It's in Jesus. And you need to know as a minister, as a follower of Jesus, you're going to pray for some people and you didn't fail. You prayed for them and they reject Jesus their whole life, but you didn't fail because you brought them before God. And I believe if you pray hard enough and long enough for different people in your life, you're going to see some victories. But some are going to reject Jesus. Scripture tells us. But be faithful. Peter says, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. He is the stone that makes people stumble. The rock that makes them fall. Well, how? They stumble because they do not, this is the last series we talked about, right? They do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. Those who reject Christ in this life are rejecting salvation for this life and eternity. Now, you just need to know that this morning. It's not the popular thing to say. In fact, a lot of times nowadays, we don't really preach on this. I grew up in a context where this was over-talked about, to the point that scared people all the time. And then the pendulum has shifted now to where we don't talk about it at all. But the truth is, this morning, if we reject Christ, then salvation doesn't come from Him. It comes from, we think it maybe it comes from our own merit. And the truth is, without Christ's salvation, we're all damned to hell because we have sin in our hearts. And not only in eternity, but in this life, you're not going to have the peace and the comfort and the fruits of the Spirit and the right heart and mind if we reject Jesus as the cornerstone. See, and as we follow Him, our actions point to who the cornerstone of our life truly is. We think that maybe we can hide that for a time or for a season, but our actions eventually point to whoever our cornerstone is. We all have a cornerstone. The question is just, is it Jesus? Listen to what Peter says. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. You hear parents sometimes, they'll tell their child, hey, we don't talk like that. What are you doing? You know better than that. This isn't what we do. Some of you have said it. Probably all said it. And when I hear that somewhere, immediately I think what the parent is saying is, you need to remember who you are. You need to remember what you're taught. You need to remember what you said. You need to remember your last name. We don't act like that. If your cousin wants to act like that, he can act like that. We don't act like that. Remember, you didn't have an identity. So stop acting like you don't have an identity. You do have an identity. Why are you acting like you're not one of mine? God says. Why are you talking like you're not one of mine? Why are you doing things? You're acting like you're not one of mine. Why are you acting like you don't have a purpose in your life? Why are you acting this way? You are God's people. You're cornered. Why are you acting like you don't have a cornerstone for your life? You've got a cornerstone for your life. Remember, every time you take communion, you're reminded of it. Remember when you were saved? Remember the Christian music that you play on the radio and you read about it here? Have you made something else the cornerstone of your life? You are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, remember who you are. Keep away from worldly desires. Why? Because they wage war against your very soul. Be careful to live properly among your, what's that word say? Unbelieving neighbors. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors at ball games when the ref makes a bad call. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when He judges the world. What does that mean? Remember those people that you try to share your faith with? And let's just say they don't come to Christ. And they stand before God. And God says, you didn't choose me, but you can't say you didn't see what I looked like because of these people in your life over here that kept trying to tell you about Jesus. You had an example. What if you actually made Jesus the cornerstone of your life today? In fact, for just a second, I'm going to ask a question. What is the cornerstone of your life? Listen, just because you go to church every Sunday and read your Bible through every year doesn't mean you've made Jesus the cornerstone of your life. It just means you go to church every Sunday and you read your Bible through every year. So the question I have for you and for me, for just a second, if you want to close your eyes, you can. If not, you don't have to. I asked the kids the same question this morning. What is your life? What is your cornerstone? Who is the cornerstone of your life? Be honest with yourself. We're going to end how we started. Is Jesus the cornerstone of your life? And as the band comes up today, I want to just simply say to you, if he's not the cornerstone of your life, he can be. He died so that you and I could make him the cornerstone of our lives. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess with our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to sabotage ourselves. We don't have to keep remembering what we did or what someone else did. Can I tell you, it's not the movie Frozen that coined the phrase, let it go. Jesus did when he died on the cross. Let it grow, let it go doesn't come from Elsa. It comes from it is finished. We have to repent of it. We can't just let it go without repentance. But we can let it go if we've not only said we're sorry, but we've told Jesus, I'm done with that. Some of you have pornography in your life, sexual sin in your life, addiction in your life, low self-esteem in your life, pride in your life, arrogance in your life, drama queen in your life, all these things that make up you, and you can let those go. Not because you deserve to or somebody else deserves you to let it go, but because Jesus died so you can let it go. What if you did that today? I want to give all of us an opportunity. I know we're at home, so some of you might need to use the restroom or go get a drink, or some of you checked out because I'm talking too long. Can I just ask all of you there, just for a minute, just to focus for just a second, and we'll be done. The church is not a building. If the church was a building, we wouldn't have church today. The church is a people. So wherever you're at today, you are the sanctuary of God. Is there anything in your life that you need to confess that you've made something else the cornerstone of your life? Confess that to God. Lord Jesus, I've made my spouse, I've made this addiction, I've made that the cornerstone. I'm sorry to say it, I'm embarrassed about it. It's really hard for me to admit, but if I was just being totally honest with you, Lord, you're on the list, but you're not the cornerstone. I don't get my north from you. I get it from what others think, or I get it from this addiction, I get it from this, I get it from that. And Lord, today I surrender that to you, and I place you at the cornerstone of my life. And I ask and I choose today and decide that moving forward, Lord, I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm going to have to confess to you again. I know that I'm going to need your grace moving forward. But right now, moving forward, I'm asking you to make you the cornerstone of my life. And Father, I pray that my decisions and my relationships and everything, Lord, would flow out of you. If you've prayed that prayer, if you've made Jesus the cornerstone of our life, we'd love to hear about it. You can write that in the comments section. If you have a prayer request that has nothing to do with that, write that in the comment section. We'd love to pray for you today. We've got a lot of things we need to pray about. We want to continue to pray for Glenn. We want to continue to pray for Mel. For those who have no idea, those are two people that have that have been sick with COVID. Mel's on the mend, and Glenn Pierce is on the mend too, but still needs prayer for lungs. We need to pray for our teachers and administrators. And can I tell you that? Can I tell you today, however it all shakes out, give them grace. We need to pray for our doctors and our healthcare workers who are overwhelmed right now. Give them grace. Lift them up in prayer. We need to pray for the leaders in our country, whether you agree with them or not. Give them grace. Pray for them. Give others grace. Give yourself grace. Why? Because Jesus said, it is finished. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for who you are. We pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct every step of our lives. Lord, you're so many things to so many people, and we thank you today that you are our cornerstone. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen.